Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today our discussion about St. Paul's unpacking of the mystery of God, the mystery of God's plan that was hidden for ages, he said, in the heart of God, but has now been revealed to us. God's plan for the destiny of the human race. That means God's plan for your life, God's purpose, and what he's accomplished for you. And Paul, he's praying regularly, as did Peter and all the apostles, and the Lord himself is praying at the right hand of the Father for us today, at this moment, that we would lay hold of the treasure and the gifting that we've been given in the person of Jesus. I mean, there's just no one like him. There never has been, never will be. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's it. He's everything. He's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. There's just no comparison, no religious leader. Friends, why? You know, the church has respect for dimensions of other religions that really touch, you know, an awareness of God at some level. The church always respects stuff like that. But the church also knows with all humility, because the church didn't create it, that they're at best they're dim lights in comparison to the glorious, radiant, powerful, never-ending truth that is Jesus Christ. He's the only one who is the Son of God, right? He is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. What we declare in the creed, there's just no one like Jesus. He's the source of eternal life. He has power to give eternal life to whomever he chooses. No one else can do that. No other religious ruler, no form of prayer, no money, no nothing can ever accomplish that. It flows from a person. Eternal life is God's gift to us who are made in the image of God, who've repented of our sins and have come to say yes to his gift, the Father's gift in his Son, Jesus. The life that's in Jesus is what salvation is all about. It's receiving from him something that belongs to him. All power, all eternal life, it's in his hands. It's not in anyone else's hands. And what we need is life. I think we get confused sometimes as Catholics that we're called to love and good deeds. Absolutely true. But my good deeds don't produce that life in me. My good deeds are not the source of that life. And one of the things the devil wants us to do is to get confused. Because he knows we fall, he knows we're inconsistent, he knows how aware our consciences are of how we failed in different ways, and so he wants to condemn us and drive us into the ground, and he wants to say, well, gee, you can't have life, you're a loser, you can't have life, you've committed too many sins, you're too weak, you're not getting there, you haven't done enough good to earn that life or to be able to have that life in you. And we think Jesus is far away from us, or God is mostly just flat out disappointed in us. And we get discouraged, and the self-loathing that we can have for ourselves, the condemnation that we have toward ourselves, the voice of the devil and his spirits, his demonic spirits, who, by the way, are my only enemy on this earth, ultimately is Satan and the dominion of demons that are under his rule. There's not a human being on the planet that's my enemy or your enemy. Even though it might get expressed otherwise through wars and or whatever, people who are set against us. Doesn't matter. They're not the enemy. The enemy is Satan. Jesus said from the cross, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. That's the same heart Jesus wants us to have. Jesus said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. St. Francis, I've read a number of times on this radio program over the years, St. Francis said, we must pray for those who hate us, persecute us, reject us. Because through them come the trials, the rejection, and all the things that help us be identified with the very life of Jesus. And he said, that's what leads us to heaven, is to be conformed to the life of Jesus through the gift of Christ Jesus. So the life that Paul's talking about, that Peter's talking about, that comes from Jesus is God's gift to us. It's saying yes to that gift, repenting of our sins, being baptized into Christ so that gift can dwell in us. And so we've been talking about this great mystery and this great plan. It's so important for us to be able to lay hold of it as true. And don't let your failures, don't let your disappointments discouragements, don't let it become a block in you or a negative energy that leads you to somehow disqualify yourself, because this is what the devil's after. He wants you to disqualify yourself from this promise of God because you're not good enough. Well, if that's the, you know, the cycle the devil gets you in your thinking and your ways of relating to yourself emotionally, and it becomes like your default position, his whole tactic is to, first of all, you have to know it's a lie, but his whole tactic is to lead you to discouragement and ultimately to despair. And then he wants you to look to sin and habit patterns of sin, sinful actions as an escape, as a way to medicate yourself. He wants to convince you it's no big deal, somehow that you might even deserve it. And he wants your weakness then to turn into a life of wickedness so that you can die in your sin. That's what he's after. That's the plan. And you need to have your heart enlightened, your will strengthened by the Holy Spirit, to say, no, 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 I am a new creation in Christ. I love simple lines like this. Paul will say, chapter 2, Colossians, verse 6, he says, as therefore you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so live in him. So he's talking for the first few chapters, he's laying out this gift that we've talked about all week so far, the great treasures that are ours in Christ. He's saying, lay hold of them. Don't just, these are not just nice ideas, these are realities that you've got to lay hold of in faith. And you got to say, this is who I am. I do have power to overcome this. I've been given this life freely by Christ Jesus. And he will forgive me of my sin if I repent. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And I have a right to stand in this light because of what Jesus has done for me. And I'm going to claim it. It's nothing to do ultimately with what I've done in the past or not. My history doesn't determine my present and my destiny unless I decide to make it my life and refuse to accept God's forgiveness, which some people do. But I love these simple lines from St. Paul. Just prior to that, verse 6, he's talking to us about, again, what Christ has accomplished. He says, for I want you to know how greatly I strive for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged. I love reading this word, brothers, for my own sake, but also, brothers and sisters, and for you, so you can be encouraged. Doesn't matter who's listening. Doesn't matter what condition your life is in. This word ought to be and can be and will be, if you say yes to it, a source of great encouragement for you, because something amazing has happened to you, almost unspeakably dramatic and beautiful. I always try to find words to describe it, but I'm not quite articulate enough. I pray the Holy Spirit would give me more of an ability to articulate the magnitude of what Christ has done for us. And I know that the Holy Spirit is the one who does it. And I know if you open your heart to him today, he's going to do it to you. He's going to reveal to you the precious gifts that you've been given. He goes on, he said, he wants us to be encouraged. And he himself is very encouraged, he said, as they're knit together in love. He wants the body of Christ, brothers and sisters, to be knit together in love and to have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Paul's praying, he's preaching, he's teaching, and he's praying so that this outcome would happen, that I would come to possess all the riches that are mine in Christ Jesus, and that I will be able to lay hold of through assured understanding and the knowledge of God. Assured understanding. I know by faith, through the gift of faith, that these treasures are real and that they're mine, that I've come to possess them as a gift. And my mind now, I have a new understanding and I have a new knowledge that I'm living by. I have what Paul would call a fresh new spiritual way of thinking. I have a renewed mind. I'm living now, my mind is enlightened by revelation, by the good news of God. And I'm reading this good news of God in the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaimed to me through the authority of the church in God's word, which is absolutely trustworthy. I start coming into these truths and all of a sudden I have understanding. I understand now. I understand who I am in Christ. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm a child of God. There's a power at work in me that's been given to me by God through Jesus that makes me a new creation. This is a reality that's happening now. And if I say yes to this, if I lean into it in obedience and trust and surrender, this life will grow in me. Paul will say at one point, calls us to be rooted and grounded. He'll say it right in this verse 6. As I follow up on, I jumped ahead of myself, excuse me, but I had the image of the tree in my mind, which is why I started thinking something growing, right? I had the image of a tree, of a seed that grows in good soil. Of course, Jesus did use that image, right, of the sower of the seed. So Paul's saying you have assured understanding and knowledge of God's mystery of Christ. Paul takes some time earlier in the first chapter talking about the supremacy of Christ. I just want to read it and pray that as I read it, that wherever you are today, driving the car, maybe you're shaving and listening to radio, maybe you're still laying in bed and you hear this, maybe you're out for a walk and you can hear this, whatever it is, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to allow you to see the majesty and glory of Jesus as Paul desires us to see it, which is why he wrote this. Chapter 1, verse 15 and following, he says, He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Think about how great Christ is. Think about this cosmos, this universe of hundreds of, 100 billion galaxies of unestimable, almost distance and magnitude and mystery and wonder. All of it was made through him and for him. That means you were made through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. Jesus is holding everything together. And if we say yes to him in faith, he'll hold us together. Even if we're feeling like our lives are falling apart, let Jesus hold you together. Let him bring you together. Let him do his work in you. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. Friends, what's going to exist forever is the church. Everything else is going to pass away. Microsoft's going to pass away. Wall Street's going to pass away. Hollywood's going to pass away. You name it. It's all going to pass away. Nothing will last except what's in Christ. And what's in Christ is the church, his body. His body, the church, will last forever. So get into the church if you're not in it. He's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead. That means his resurrection, right? He's the first one to pass from death to life. That in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through the blood of his cross. He reconciled you to the Father. He made peace in your heart with the Father. In your life, he united you. How? Through the blood of his cross. Through the blood of his cross. So precious, so amazing, so beautiful. Friends, it's for you. Let's live in it and walk in it. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.